Hal Roach presents Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy in Utopia, with narrative description by Audiovision Canada. Also in the cast, Susie Dallaire, M. Alloy, M. Dalmatoff, A. Rimoldi. Screenplay, J. Plorer, F. Koner, R. Wheeler, P. Tolini. Associated producers, Raymond Eager, Forteza Film, Film Sirius. Lounging on a boat's deck, an ample Oliver Hardy waxes eloquent as a paper-thin Stan Laurel polishes a horn.
Who has never dreamed of knowing heaven on earth, of sailing away to a desert island? Well, here's a story about such a dream come true. A story that starts in London at tea time, which is not surprising since it's always tea time in London. On this particular day at the house of the Honorable Mr. Bramwell,
an office door opens and a secretary enters carrying a tea tray.
Mr. Bramwell.
She sets the tray on a desk before three gentlemen.
Yes, from America. It's waiting outside.
Yes, from America. Oh, we can't keep him waiting. Hey, gentlemen. Well, don't stand there gaping, Bringle. Show him in immediately.
As she leaves, the three men stand.
Will you go in now?
Stan approaches the door. An umbrella taps his shoulder. As he turns, Ollie steps past him. Stan follows him in.
It's still Laurel, I presume.
Oh, no, I'm Oliver Hardy. I'm Mr. Lawrence's financial exchequer.
But where is Mr. Laurel?
Oh, right here, Mr. Laurel.
Stan steps forward.
Ah, Mr. Laurel, we've had quite a time finding you.
Ollie trips over Stan's suitcase.
And now, gentlemen, let me introduce the two attorneys who handled your late uncle's affairs in France and in Italy. Mr. Hardy, Monsieur Bonnefoy, Mr. Laurel, Signor Poltrone.
How do you do?
Signor Poltrone, Mr. Hardy, Monsieur Bonnefoy, Mr. Laurel. My name is Bramwell.
They shake hands all around.
Mr. Hardy.
As Stan's hat falls, Ollie slaps it back on his head, to the surprise of the lawyers.
Well, gentlemen, could we get on to business?
Stan hands Ollie a sandwich.
Thank you, Stanley. Now, just how much was this legacy?
All you Americans, you'll never seem to believe in formalities, do you?
Stan prepares himself a sandwich.
There's one thing about us. We always believe in business before pleasure.
As Ollie holds out his hand, Stan lathers it with jam. Ollie is shocked, and the lawyer's astounded. Stan places a slice of bread on top of the jam. About to eat, he notices Ollie's thumb protruding. Shamed, he carefully wipes Ollie's hand with the bread. Stan reaches for the Frenchman's pocket handkerchief and wipes Ollie's hand. He puts the handkerchief back to its owner's dismay. When he takes another slice, Ollie slaps it away.
Now, could we proceed?
As a matter of fact, we had better get right to business. Your uncle was quite an eccentric.
He didn't believe in banks. He insisted on keeping his money in cash.
They place bundles of money on the desk.
And here it is.
What is it? It's money, I think.
Indeed, it is money. And a very large sum.
Italian lire.
French francs.
And English pounds.
Stanley.
Ollie produces a briefcase.
Mr. Laurel, before we actually turn this money over to you, there are, of course, some administrative charges.
Will these include overhead legal charges?
Deflation, amortization.
Currency fluctuation, foreign exchange, and a few other incidentals. Gentlemen.
The lawyers bring out their own cases and remove nearly half of each bundle. The boys are dismayed.
Here's your receipt, Mr. Laurel.
Stan takes the receipt, but Ollie signals for it.
Well, gentlemen.
My dear Mr. Hardy, there is another small item.
What now?
The taxes. To save you time, we've had them all figured out.
Including, naturally, a slight fee for our services. These deductions represent income taxes, estate taxes, inheritance taxes, death taxes, and living taxes.
And a few other plain taxes. Gentlemen?
Again, the lawyers reach for their briefcases. Bewildered, Ollie and Stan look on as most of the rest of the money disappears.
I wish Uncle had left me the taxes.
Is that all we get?
Oh, but you also get an island.
An island?
And a beautiful yacht.
Bramwell brings forward a globe.
Yes, the yacht is tied to a dock right here, see? In Marseille, France. And the island is here, in the South Seas.
Gee, that sounds wonderful, Ollie.
Well, that sounds swell. But how much are the taxes on that?
Oh, none. The island is absolutely tax-free. Here's your money.
The papers for the boat.
And this is the deed to the island.
Well, now, that cleans out, that cleans up the estate. Gentlemen, I bid you good day.
Come, Stanley.
Picking up his umbrella, Ollie drags the tea tray to the floor.
Why don't you be careful?
Stan shrugs. In Marseille, the boys are led down a busy wharf.
Take a look. Here's your little boat, gentlemen.
Clad in a plastic raincoat and struggling with an overladen luggage dolly, Stan approaches a sail-equipped motor launch.
And here's your port clearance.
Boy, we'll need a crew for this one.
A crew? What do we need a crew for? I'm running this boat.
Let's get on it.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Dock fee.
How much?
$19,000.
Ollie takes out a slim wad of money and pays.
Thank you, sir. And bon voyage.
And monsieur Goku.
Good day.
Home tomorrow.
Thank you.
It's a good thing you didn't take the taxes. We had nothing left.
Pardon me. Thanks a lot for reminding me. I forgot about it.
The man takes the rest of the money.
Monsieur.
Ollie hands the man his last coin.
Thank you. It's much too much, sir. Much too much.
Well, what did you have to open your big mouth for?
Well, I didn't know it was going to take any.
Come on and let's take a look at the boat.
Jauntily, they board the boat. Stan immediately steps in a bucket and falls back. As Ollie pulls off the bucket, Stan tumbles to the deck. Ollie helps Stan to his feet, then shoves him. Angry, Stan slaps Ollie on the head with the port clearance, then points to himself as the owner. Ollie snatches the papers, tears them up, throws them overboard, and orders Stan forward. Ollie pauses to look at the engine.
We've got plenty of gas.
Standing at the binnacle, Stan tests the wheel. As he steps on the starter, Ollie disappears in a cloud of exhaust.
Get that thing alone.
Stan picks up a boat's horn and presses it.
Put that down.
Look, there's a tunnel. Look.
As Stan starts into a companionway, Ollie pushes him aside and heads down the ladder. Stan follows. On the ladder, Stan steps on Ollie's cloak. Ollie struggles to pull it free.
Why don't you watch where you're walking?
Well, I couldn't help it.
Oh, never mind that. Let's see what we've got here.
They stroll forward into the cabin. Stan plumps up a pillow, then a mattress on a bunk. He sits, then bounces. A swarm of cats flee from under the bunk.
I didn't know they were living underneath.
Well, they have moved.
Above, an angry tomcat addresses them.
Are you safe?
I wouldn't care to repeat it. Come on.
At the galley sink, Ollie picks up a cup. He tries a tap. Water blasts into the cup and his face.
What happened?
Mind your own business.
Stan opens a cupboard door, and a life raft tumbles out.
Oh, look! What is it?
Well, that's an emergency life raft for four people.
You can't get four people into this thing.
You don't understand. Inside there's a compressed air cylinder. When you release the valve, it fills up large enough to carry four people.
Well, what about me?
You don't have to be insulting. Haven't I always taken care of you? You're the first one I think of.
Hurt, Ollie turns away.
Didn't mean to hurt your feelings, Ollie. Ollie.
Yoo-hoo.
Taking out a handkerchief, Stan dabs at Ollie's eyes, then wipes his nose.
Take that snakeskin off and get that cargo aboard.
Stan removes his raincoat.
What about me? What about me?
Ollie removes his cloak and prepares to hang it up. He spots a hook holding an admiral's hat and a sword. After placing his cloak on the hook, he admires the hat, then hangs it up. On deck, Stan brings luggage aboard. Ollie approaches.
Don't waste time like that. Throw them to me and I'll put them there.
As Stan steps ashore, Ollie takes a whistle from his pocket. At the whistle, Stan tosses Ollie a bunch of carrots, followed by a box of cans. Reaching for a watermelon, he tosses it to Ollie, who places it on the deck. Stan tosses him some greens. Ollie falls, squashing the watermelon. Without looking, Stan tosses a box, which lands on Ollie's head. Angry, Ollie waves to Stan to come aboard. Turning his back to Stan, Ollie lifts his coattails. Stan picks up the greens and wipes Ollie's trousers. On shore, a cage is lowered onto the wharf. Inside the cage, monkeys cavort as stevedores draw near.
Look at that.
Huddling behind the monkeys, a man tries to hide.
What goes on here? There's a man in the cage.
Port officers look in.
I bet it's that swan again. But the guy must be mad.
I'm a monkey, I tell you.
He's a stateless man.
A what?
Somebody who has no nationality. Oh, he's not a bad guy, really. But no country seems to want him. He'd do anything to get back on land. Let's go, Antoine.
Antoine tosses out a duffel bag and emerges.
Don't you know it's against the law to land here without a passport?
Punish me. Teach me a lesson. Put me in prison. But remember that to put me in prison, you've got to let me land.
How long has it been on your ship, Captain?
Oh, months. He tried to get ashore at Petrokovac, Nagasaki, Caracas, Sydney,
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, Salonika, everywhere we stopped.
All I ask for is a country.
Well, get a passport.
Oh, that's easy to say. How can I get a passport if I have no country? And how can I get in the country if I have no passport?
Sorry, I didn't make the regulations. You're not allowed to land in this country. That's the law.
Fine laws. You land monkeys without a passport, and not human beings.
Take him back on board.
As the captain leads Antoine away,
let's go.
Another man hides behind plywood sheets being loaded aboard the ship. Screened by the wood, he climbs the gangway.
Six sheets, plywood.
Sugar, one sack.
10 feet, 1 sack. On board, the man tries to hide. A port officer approaches. He dodges away only to be cornered by the other officer.
Oh, all right.
Sugar, 1 sack.
He's escorted ashore.
Don't you ever stop playing hide-and-seek with us. Go on. Beat it and quick.
But you two always stop me.
Now, see here. You're probably a good stonemason.
Why don't you go and work in Italy?
But I'm an immigrant.
That's just it. Immigrant in Italy.
You kidding or something? How can you immigrate to a place you've left already?
Well, maybe. But one sure thing, you're not going to leave Marseille without paying your passage.
From his deck, the ship's captain looks down at Stan and Ollie.
Good morning, boys.
What'd you say?
I haven't opened my mouth.
Good morning, boys.
Stan and Ollie look up.
Going on a vacation?
We're going to the South Seas.
Oh, that's a long trip there and a long way back.
Yeah, but we're not coming back. You see, we own an island out there. Don't we, Ollie?
Uh-huh. Say, how do you start an engine?
With a mechanic, of course.
We can't afford one. We haven't got any money.
We did have, but they took it all for taxes.
Well, don't worry. I'm going to send you a mechanic, and he won't cost you a cent.
The captain strides to a pensive Antoine.
Well, everything's arranged.
What is? My execution?
There are two characters alongside. They own an island in the South Seas. You're invited. And you won't need a passport to get ashore.
At the captain's signal, a crane is swung over the deck. Straddling a hook and holding his duffel bag, Antoine is hoisted away. The crane is swung over the boat, and Antoine is lowered to the deck. Landing, he steps on the starter. Falling back, he knocks the throttle ahead. The boat leaps from the wharf. It speeds through the harbor and out to sea. Later, the boat chugs serenely over a glassy sea. At the wheel, Stan holds out his arm to signal a turn. Ollie climbs on deck wearing the Admiral's hat and sword and carrying a chart.
Good morning, Sammy.
Good morning, Ollie.
Where are we?
We're here, see, right?
Well, we shouldn't be. We'll have to change our course.
Below, Antoine rings the dinner bell as Stan tries to leave.
Keep her on a course. You can eat later.
Well, I'm hungry.
So am I, selfish.
Ollie goes below, leaving Stan at the wheel. Stan picks up a rope, then lashes the wheel in place, and descends into the cabin. As Stan leaves, a stowaway, the stonemason, peers out from a furled sail. Below, as Antoine cooks, Stan enters and joins Ollie at the table, then removes his hat. Stan points to Ollie's head.
Your hat. Oh.
As Ollie removes his hat, Stan replaces his own, but Ollie slaps it away.
Stanley, this is wonderful. The sea, the sky, the sun, and you and I alone on the bounding main.
What do you mean, alone? He's with us.
Oh, of course, Antoine. He's our very, very good friend.
Yes, sir. And we'll share and share alike.
Thank you.
They shake hands.
Thank you.
Antoine wipes a tear from his eye. Ollie notices the skylight is closed.
Stanley, open the skylight so we can get some of that good sea air.
Standing, Stan notes the skylight is now open.
You know what? You need glasses. It's already open. When you get to the island, you better see an optimist.
Hot rolls and butter. And for the piece de resistance, Antoine presents his specialty, the Côte de Vaux garni.
Sounds good.
The boys attack the bread rolls.
I'm going to enjoy that, I know. I love Coke.
Stan tucks a napkin in his collar, but it falls to the floor. As he bends to pick it up, a hand reaches down and snatches his roll. Stan prepares to butter the missing roll. He lifts his plate, then looks about. Puzzled, he lifts the tablecloth, then pats his coat pockets before glancing at Ollie, who is busy buttering his roll. Stan gets an idea.
Antoine, I suppose in the garni you use a small touch of garlic.
Oh, I hardly use a pinch.
Ollie looks at his plate. His roll is gone. He glares at Stan, who munches serenely.
A man that would steal food from a friend is the smallest thing in the world.
Oh, I don't know.
All I hope, Stan, is that you enjoyed your role.
How could I enjoy it when you stole it?
What do you mean I stole it? You stole it.
I would like you to know how happy I am to have you both as my friends. I would like to give you a toast.
Antoine pours wine.
I give you a friendship.
Friendship. Here's how.
Stan raises his glass, then brings down his hand empty. He sips anyway. With a start, he realizes his hand is empty and the glass is gone. Puzzled, he raises his hand again and brings it down with an empty glass. The others drink up.
Let's have another, eh?
To friendship. Here's to your health.
Stan raises his empty hand and brings it down, holding an empty glass. Ollie's glass is missing. Noticing Stan has two glasses, Ollie glares, then snatches Stan's full one.
Friendship. That's something really swell, no?
No, definitely no.
Oh, the chops are done. Sit down, my friend. Antoine is going to serve you his masterpiece.
On deck, the stowaway climbs out of the furled sail and peers into the cabin. Below, the boys prepare to eat their chops. Stan shields his blade from Ollie. The stowaway reaches down and taps Stan on the head. Stan turns, and his chop is whisked away. Puzzled, Stan looks back at his plate. Annoyed that his chop is missing, he drops his knife and fork. Then turns to watch Ollie attack his chop with gusto. Stan rises, walks to Ollie's side, and slaps him on the shoulder.
What's the matter now? You know what's the matter. I want my chop varnished with garlic.
You've got a lot of nerve. You want my chop after you've eaten yours.
I'm sorry.
Well, you should be. Just a minute. Where's my potato?
Now listen. If you think I've eaten your roll and your potato, weigh me.
Well, if you didn't, who did?
Stan nods toward Antoine. Ollie turns and nods as well. They approach Antoine, who's holding a carving knife. Ollie pushes Stan next to the cook.
You can't scare us with that. As admiral of this ship, I'll have Stanley put you in irons.
What's all this about?
You stole my potato.
Yeah, my roll and chop.
Incidentally, who's steering the boat?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I tied the wheel on its course.
Above, the boat chugs on in a circle.
Well, for once, you have used your head.
Thank you, Ollie. I'll try and do that more often.
What was that?
The motor stopped. Fix it. You're the engineer.
But to tell you the truth, I'm not a mechanic. The captain on the boat cooked up that story just to get rid of me.
As usual, I have to do everything myself. Get up on deck and stand by.
Stand by what?
Stand up the deck. We'll take this little matter up later.
On deck, Stan lurches aside as Ollie emerges from the engine compartment.
What do you think's wrong with it?
There's no use guessing. We'll just have to take it apart and find out. In other words, use your head.
What for?
Well, you could use yours for a bowling ball.
You mean one of those with a hole in it?
Exactly. Now give me a hand.
Stan holds out his hand. When Ollie slaps it, Stan bashes him with his hat.
Now let that be a lesson to you.
Ollie Ollie hands Stan a propeller from the engine. Stan places it on the deck.
Yeah.
But it slides over the side. Other parts are brought up and placed on deck, only to slide overboard. Handed a section of pipe, Stan looks it over, then blows in it.
Put that down!
He places it on the deck. It falls overboard, splashing water on Stan. Ollie looks up to see if it's raining while Stan raises his collar. Looking at the engine, Stan notices the fuel gauge.
Ollie.
What?
The gas tank's empty.
Why didn't you tell me that before? Give me the parts and I'll put them back together.
Stan notices the empty deck and the bubbles rising to the surface from the sinking parts.
Now we've got nothing left but the sail.
The boys walk forward to the mast.
Now when I give the signal, you pull.
As the sail is raised, the stowaway tumbles out.
What are you doing?
I could have broken my arm.
Who are you and what are you doing on this boat?
You've got no right here.
I have my rights. I am traveling as a stowaway.
They didn't tell us a stowaway came with a boat.
No.
Listen, fellas, I could easily have been a stowaway on any other boat. I happened to pick this one. Then you have to find me and spoil everything.
Well, we had to use the sail because the engine broke.
Well, why don't you try fixing the motor?
Well, we tried to, but it fell in the sea.
Fell in the sea. Holy mackerel, just my luck to be a stowaway in a boat run by two land lovers who managed to drop the engine in the ocean. The ocean. Ah!
You know, I think we've offended him.
What's happened? What goes on here?
We've got a stowaway aboard. This is Antoine the chef.
Giovanni Coppini. Glad to meet you, sir.
And this is Stanley.
How do you do?
Stepping forward, Stan falls into an open skylight, then climbs back out.
How do you do?
Why don't you be careful?
Come on. We can't waste all day just talking. Get that rope. Get the sail out. Go ahead. You, the fat one, get on the other side. Pull.
As Ollie hauls on a line, Stan picks up a coil of rope. Backing away, Ollie tugs lustily. Stan falls to the deck in a tangle of cordage.
Pull on that. Pull.
Catching the wind, the sail flies overboard, followed by Ollie. On deck, Stan answers Ollie's signal. Ollie points to a lifebuoy. Stan tosses it overboard. It lands near the floundering Ollie and sinks. Later, Ollie comes on deck in his pajamas.
Just in time to eat lunch.
Never mind eating. What happened to my pants? I put them right there to dry. It's getting to the place that you... Hey, the boat's moving! You can...
Looking up, Ollie recognizes his king-size trousers are serving as a sail. Forward, his umbrella is the jib. Later, the men loll on deck.
Kind of nice, eh, Stanley?
Sure is. Just like playing hooky from school. We're all playing hooky, more or less. Giovanni, what are you playing hooky from?
From a world where I'm always being told what to do and then how to do it.
We don't blame you.
And you, what are you playing hooky from?
Taxes.
Yes, we don't like taxes.
Stan polishes the boat horn.
Hey, Antoine, what about you? Where is your home?
My home? I don't know. The whole world ought to be man's country. But for me, someone seems to have locked all the doors.
Just see our island now. Palm trees, flowers, the sun to warm us, and the gentle rain.
Stan presses the horn. Storm clouds gather.
Storm! Don't you think you better get the boat ready?
Connie, yes, it looks like a bank.
I never saw one like this before.
Me either. You better pull down the sail.
I'll go get the life raft.
men stumble about the deck to prepare for the storm. As waves lash the boat, Stan edges his way below. His hat falls off. As he bends, a table slides over him, then back again. It returns, but he leaps aside. Above, the makeshift jib is blown away. Ollie, Antoine, and Giovanni struggle with the sail. Below, Stan dodges the sliding table again. He escapes to a bunk. A porthole flies open, and a wave splashes over him. He turns up his collar. Another wave douses him. Reaching up, he closes the porthole. He spots an oil can and tests it. Then he opens the porthole and squirts oil on the waves. The boat stops rolling. Outside, the sea is calm. Suddenly, a wave splashes over Stan. The storm has returned. He slams the porthole shut. On deck, Giovanni tosses the anchor overboard. Below, a cupboard door slams into Stan's face. He reaches in the cupboard and pulls out the life raft. Above, the crew strives to control the wildly pitching boat. In the cabin, Stan falls with the life raft on top of him. As he struggles from beneath it, he pauses to listen. The raft begins to inflate. Frightened, he rises and tries to take it on deck. Above, the storm batters Ollie, Antoine, and Giovanni as they struggle with the sail. In the cabin, Stan battles the raft. It slowly fills out to envelop him. He struggles for control. Finally, he marches it forward. On deck, the mast is broken off. Below, the table lands on top of the raft. As the storm lashes the boat, Stan struggles to free himself. The table falls from the raft, which pops open, releasing him. Finally aware that he's free, Stan rises. The table hurtles back at him as he tries to climb away. Now the raft walks toward him. He picks up a serving fork and stabs the raft as a flour bag falls from a cupboard. The explosion fills the cabin with a white cloud. Outside, the boat is tossed by the angry waves. Suddenly, the sea nearby boils in a volcanic eruption. An island gradually rises above the water. On deck, Ollie, Antoine, and Giovanni huddle in fear. Below, covered with flour, Stan reels to his feet. The boat sits high and dry. Wisps of steam swirl from the rocks. Deck.
Ah, look at that. An island!
We're on an island! Stanley, we're on it!
Ollie reaches in his pocket for his whistle. Stan slowly emerges from the cabin.
We're on an island! Take a peep! Take a peep!
I'm too plump to peep. Look!
The island teems with shellfish.
Boy. It's an atoll! That's what it is, an atoll! Come on!
Yes,
come on, brother.
Yes.
Easy.
Antoine tests the land.
It's all right. It's all right. Let's go fishing now, huh? Hand me a basket.
Right away.
Quick, a pot, some wood. Build a fire so it'll be your bed.
Forget to put some garlic in it.
Oh, without it, it wouldn't be a real bouillabaisse.
As Antoine and Giovanni gather food, Ollie helps Stan from the boat. Stan's foot gets caught in Ollie's jacket. They struggle to remove it. Finally, Ollie's jacket rips and Stan falls to the ground. Ollie examines his torn jacket. He turns abruptly and tears Stan's coat. They survey their boat.
Well, it don't look so bad.
Still in good condition.
Stan slaps the hull. A piece falls away, spilling onto Ollie. Stan helps Ollie to his feet and dusts his jacket.
Antoine, what time are you serving dinner?
If you want to eat, you better go build a fire. And you, my boy, clean the fish.
You get the paper and I'll get the wood.
As Ollie turns to the boat, Stan picks up an armload of books.
Ollie?
Yeah?
Hold this a minute, will you?
He hands the books to Ollie and turns for more. A float falls from deck onto Ollie, knocking him to the ground. Stan turns back and stumbles over his friend. Later, the men enjoy the bouillabaisse.
You know, boys, there seems to be a lot of room for building houses here.
Yeah, it sure is naked around here.
Ollie selects a book.
What do we do on a deserted island?
Here's a man that was shipwrecked, and he did all right. Listen. Robinson Crusoe was born in the city of York. His father wanted him to become a lawyer, but young Crusoe longed to go to sea.
The castaways explore their island.
Our modern Robinson Crusoes have gotten used to their new life. By using the latest scientific farming methods, they obtain the wild land.
A makeshift plow prepares the ground for planting. Seeds are sown.
And Mother Nature has supplied them with plenty of fresh water.
A bubbling stream flows peacefully. Nearby, Stan peers into a box.
Oscar!
The box is marked, "Beware, Ferocious." As Stan steps aside, a lobster jumps into a pan of water to refresh itself. To Stan's enjoyment.
For the animals as well as for the men, this island has become a real paradise. Yes, but a Garden of Eden without Eve. And Adam is bored.
Stan hammers a stone out to sea.
Where are these skipping stones leading us to? To Papeete, the capital of Tahiti. And who do we find? Eve. I beg your pardon, Cherie L'Amour. Today is her big day. First of all, she's taking an audition at the Cockatoo, the smartest nightclub in town. And also, she's expected at the courthouse for an important occasion. She's going to marry Lieutenant Jack Fraser.
The bridegroom waits impatiently.
Miss L'Amour, this way, please.
Cherie hurries into the mayor's office.
Ah. Oh, sweetheart, I'm so pleased.
Hardly looks like it. You're 3/4 of an hour late.
You're not going to grumble about 3 little quarters of an hour.
Marriage is a most important thing, and I should like, before proceeding any further,
a contract.
Say a few words.
What contract?
Miss L'Amour.
Well, we're going to share everything in common.
Marriage.
That's not what I'm talking about. My contract with the Cockatoo. My debut's tomorrow night, so you'll have a chance to come and see me before you sail.
Miss L'Amour, if you please, won't you...
Oh, but I'm listening to you, Your Honor.
Miss L'Amour, Lieutenant, marriage is a most important thing.
Just a minute.
It's most unusual, but if... But
am I to understand that you intend to continue your career after we are married?
But of course, my sweetheart. You never suggested that I should give it up.
I never broached the subject, because I took for granted that after we were married, you'd devote yourself entirely to me.
Nothing could please me more if you were here all the time. But when you spend 10 months out of the year sailing the seas, What do you expect me to do? Swim behind your little barge?
Calm yourself, Miss L'Amour.
I'm very calm, Your Honor. But I'm not going to submit to this kind of blackmail.
In that case, I'm not going to hang around here. You think about it. But think fast.
He leaves.
Please, sir.
Let him go away, Your Honor. I won't run after him. Do you hear me?
Miss L'Amour.
He'll never see me again. I don't know what I'll do yet. But I'll see to it he never finds me.
Days later, a ship cruises serenely over the sea. The ship nears an island. Seated in a rowboat, Cherie waves, then takes up the oars. Ashore.
I'm glad you boys are here. I want to talk to you. Where were you fellas a while ago?
I was down at the beach getting these fish for dinner, see? I was working in the garden.
Did you see or hear anything?
Just the waves.
Why? I'll tell you why. Because I was down by the lagoon, and I thought I heard the engines of a big boat. Then it whistled. By the time I climbed up to see, there was nothing there.
That's because it had gone.
Oh. What had gone?
The boat.
Do you mean to tell me that you saw a boat and didn't let us know?
Well, I saw it and I waved to it. It didn't wave back, so I...
Get us something to drink before I forget myself.
At the water barrel, Stan notices Cherie.
Pardon me.
He takes the water back to the table and pours it for Ollie. Slowly realizing Cherie's presence, he looks back and spills the water.
What's the matter with you? I think I saw something. What are you talking about? There's a girl in the kitchen. You are absolutely right. There she is.
Hello?
As one, the men gape at the beautiful woman standing before them. As she slowly approaches, they stand in awe.
Well, hello, fellas.
How did you get here?
Well, I guess you might say I was dropped by a wheel.
Like the one that rides on the broom?
I'm sorry for this intrusion, but you'll have to take me as a guest, I'm afraid.
It will be a pleasure.
I knew I should have built a guest house a long time ago.
Oh, there's no place for me to stay.
Oh, don't you worry your pretty little head about that. Giovanni and Antoine will move in with Stanley and me. And you can stay right here.
You're very kind.
Come, my little princess, and I'll show you to your boudoir.
You know, I think I'm going to like this place.
It's swell. You don't have to shave or anything.
With Cherie on his arm, Ollie leads the way outside. The others follow eagerly.
I left my taxi down at the beach with all my things.
Gentlemen, get the lady's luggage and bring it to her chateau.
Antoine and Giovanni rush to the beach.
What's that funny thing up there?
That, my dear, is a wreckage of the good ship Moment.
Ah!
I shall never forget the day that I found this island. It was a terrible night, dark as pitch.
It was so pitch you couldn't see a hand behind your back.
Exactly, Stanley. Then all of a sudden, I spotted that harbor. I put her bow into the teeth of the gale, lashed myself to the wheel, and beached her on that pinnacle.
Oh. And it's been there ever since.
Well, boys, you must have had trouble getting it up so high.
He read it in the book.
Come, my dear.
Giovanni and Antoine arrived with Cherie's luggage.
1, 2, 3. Yes, it's all there. Thank you.
They enter a stone hut. That night, Stan prepares for bed. He checks beneath the bed, then climbs under the covers and pats down his pillows. Blows out the candle.
Stanley, have you forgotten that we have company?
With Antoine and Giovanni at his side, Ollie motions to Stan to move over.
gentlemen, make yourselves comfortable.
The guests climb into the bed. They leave little room for Ollie.
Gentlemen.
He motions for them to move over. As they comply, Stan is pushed to the floor. He gets to his feet and tries to climb back in, but Antoine stays put. Stan circles to the other side and climbs in.
Stanley.
Ollie stops him.
This is my side. Well, there's no room on my side. Well, the fair thing to do is to take turns. While one sits up, the other sleeps. And when he wakes up, we change. Now, that's what I call a sport. Thank you, Ollie.
Stan climbs in.
That's a good idea. I sleep, and then when you wake up, I sleep again. And haven't you forgotten something? Huh? Haven't you forgotten something? Oh, good night, Ollie. I'm sorry, I...
Get up and put that candle out.
Ollie drags Stan from the bed.
Selfish.
After blowing out the candle, Stan runs back and climbs into bed on top of Ollie. Contrite, he rises and replaces the covers on his friend.
Ollie. 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 Are you awake yet? No.
Resigned, Stan sits. Oscar the lobster creeps into the room. Stan picks it up. He places Oscar over his shoulder like a baby as Ollie snores. Stan yawns.
Pardon me.
Then places Oscar on his lap to rest. The breeze from Ollie's snore sweeps Stan from his stool. Giovanni and Antoine gape at Ollie with disbelief. After replacing the stool, Stan is blown over once more. He clings to the wall for support in the gale, struggling to stay erect. Ollie's windstorm blows the cover from the bed. A shutter opens, letting a bat fly in. Antoine and Giovanni glare at Ollie as he sits up. The bat knocks Stan over. He picks up a broom to fend it off and flails about wildly. The bat flies into Ollie. Stan winds up and smashes Ollie. The bat lands on Giovanni. Ollie snatches the broom from Stan. Grabbing weapons, Antoine and Giovanni join the melee. Ollie is knocked into a bell, then is hit by a ukulele. Angry, Ollie whacks Antoine.
Open the window and we'll drive him out.
More bats fly in. As Ollie, Giovanni, and Antoine huddle together for protection, Stan sleeps peacefully in the bed, snuggling Oscar. Next morning, in her hut, Cherie checks her nails. In their hut, the men listen with pleasure.
This morning I'm going to prepare a magnificent seagull egg omelette with fine herbs.
Omelette, bah! Well, today I'm going to draw the plans for a splendid villa with a big Roman bath.
What are you going to do, Ollie?
I'm going to give you fellas a piece of my mind. Cherie's a nice girl, isn't she?
Charming.
Pretty, too.
And we're all friends, aren't we?
Of course. Naturally.
Well, I make a motion that we never let a woman come between us. Agreed?
Of course.
I agree.
Now, let's all get dressed.
Say, Ollie, where's the sandpaper?
Sandpaper? In that locker.
Thank you.
Stan hurries away. Ollie is puzzled. As Stan opens the locker, a bat flies out and into Ollie's face. Ollie starts to clean his teeth. Across the room,
pardon me.
Antoine brushes past Stan.
Thank you.
And grabs his shaving mug.
Pardon me.
Giovanni grabs a towel.
Thank you.
Annoyed, Stan slams the locker shut, then opens it again.
Pardon me.
Antoine pushes Ollie from the sink.
Thanks a lot.
As he leaves,
pardon me.
Giovanni, too, brushes past Ollie. Stan sands his nails.
Thank you. Pardon me.
Antoine pushes past Ollie to lather his face as Giovanni rinses a shirt. All three stop and turn to watch Stan sanding his face. Ollie taps Stan on the shoulder, then examines his face. He sands his fingers as a test. Amazed at the smoothness, he resumes cleaning his teeth, but stops. He looks quizzically at his brush and notices sand has gotten into it. Later, clad in what passes for their Sunday best, the men rush outdoors. Ollie points to the sky. As they pause and search, he runs past. Recovering, they run after him into Sherry's hut.
Cut your tongue? How nice you look this morning. Come on, come on. I want you to sit down.
The men sit at a carefully laid out breakfast table.
I'll have the food on the table in 2 seconds.
With a curtsy, she leaves. Bewitched, the men watch. At Ollie's suggestion, they remove their hats.
Clean plate.
Even a tablecloth.
And clean napkins.
Yeah, she didn't scrape the floor.
Yes.
Looking to the floor, Stan spots a snapshot of Lieutenant Frazier. He picks it up. He takes out his glasses and examines it closely.
Does this belong to anybody? Never saw that guy before.
Nobody I know.
As Cherie brings rolls to the table, she looks at the picture and takes it from Stan.
It's mine. It's a friend. It's just someone I knew once.
Downcast, she places the photo in the top of her dress and slowly walks away. She returns carrying a pot.
I have a little surprise which I hope you're going to like.
What, another one? What is it?
A bouillabaisse.
The men stare at the pot.
Tell me, is your boyfriend fond of bouillabaisse?
Oh, he loved it.
Days later, carrying her belongings, the men lead Cherie across the island. They climb a hill, then stroll along a beach, before stopping at a thatched hut.
Is this the warehouse you've been building? As warehouses go, it's a funny warehouse. Ha, ha,
ha. This is no warehouse.
Ollie motions for Cherie to cover her eyes. As she complies, he removes a palm leaf, revealing a sign. Cherie. Slowly uncovering her eyes, she beams.
It's for you. For me?
just for you. It sure is easy to fool you.
Did you really think we were building a refrigerator?
We were afraid you'd find out, so we put on all the decorations last night.
Oh.
She kisses Stan on both cheeks. Then Giovanni and Antoine. Stan sneaks around for another. She smiles, then kisses him again. Ollie joins the line beside Stan. Stan kisses Ollie's cheek, to his dismay.
Come on in.
Ollie leads Cherie into the hut, and the others bring her belongings. Offshore, a ship lies at anchor. While onshore, surveyors are busy taking measurements. Carrying an officer is rowed ashore. In the hut,
it's just an officer. You've all been such wonderful friends. This is the first real home I've ever had. I'm so happy.
She sees Lieutenant Fraser in the doorway.
You're not content just to be a singer. You've also got to be the comedian.
He approaches.
What are you playing now? Snow White and the Seven Dwarves?
That's the fella in the picture that she carries around with her.
All right. You track me down. Now what?
You're wrong, baby. I never tried tracking you down. Our old friend Dolan reported he'd seen an uncharted island. My business here is to chart it. My men are out there working at it now. I suppose I ought to have my head examined, but I'm going to give you one more chance. Go and pack your things and be down at the beach in 15 minutes.
What for?
Well, I suppose you want to be rescued, don't you?
Not by you.
She joins the men.
Lieutenant, come right away. We found something.
Okay, I'll be right with you. This is your last chance. Are you coming?
No.
With an angry salute, Fraser leaves.
We'd better keep an eye on that guy. He looks like a man that would steal our island.
The men leave. Troubled, Cherie stays behind. At the shore, the surveyor leads the lieutenant to a Geiger counter.
It's uranium. The place is loaded with it.
Uranium. Which one of you fellows happened to land first on this island?
Let me handle this, fellas. Why do you ask that?
Because it will determine which nation owns the island. We all own it. Of course, of course. You own the island. You're the real proprietors, but some country has got to claim sovereignty. The international law specifies that an island belongs to the country whose citizen was first to set foot on it.
So some country can take our island?
That's right.
And if that country has immigration laws?
You will have to abide by those laws.
Even income tax laws?
Income tax laws, inheritance taxes, and sales taxes.
You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to take our geraniums. That's it exactly.
Pardon us for just one moment.
Ollie leads the men aside.
Tell him that we all landed on the island at the same time.
If we can't tell a lie, Antoine was the first to land. It was a terrible night.
All right, all right.
They joined the lieutenant.
Here's how it is. I was the first man to set foot on this island.
Okay, what's your name?
Antoine.
Antoine what?
Antoine, master of cooking.
Nationality?
I haven't any.
You see, he's what is known as a stateless man, or in other words, a misplaced person.
You see, he's lost, and he can't find himself.
Listen, you've got to have a nationality.
Telling me? I explained that in every port wherever I tried to land, but no country wanted to have me.
Every country now will want to have you. I'll go and radio the authorities and dump it in somebody's lap. So long, gentlemen.
Bye.
Bye, sir.
So long,
Lieutenant.
The men flee from the Geiger counter. pictures and descriptions of the island are spread worldwide. Radios broadcast the news.
Every hour on the hour, this station has given you up-to-the-minute report.
Niente della difficoltà
riscontrate dalle grandi potenze.
Conosci il problema sollevé.
The recent discovery in the Pacific
of an island which will be known henceforth as Atoll H. I beg your pardon, Atoll K. After a fortnight of conferences,
the great powers, in a joint statement issued today, announced the appointment of an international commission to decide which nation will be awarded sovereignty rights over the island which has emerged from the ocean only a short time ago and will be known as Atoll K.
On their island, Cherie and the men listen.
Now it has become only a question of time before some government raises its flag over Atoll K.
Some government's flag, they say.
Do you hear that?
Well, why don't we make a government of our own?
Cherie's right.
Ollie picks up a book.
I'll write a constitution like has never been written before.
Then he takes out a pencil.
Sharpen this.
Stan takes the pencil to a sharpener. He returns with a stub.
This will have to be a short constitution. Now, we, their people, of Crusoe Land, in order to save our island, do hereby form a government. Now, what kind of government do we want?
Very little government be good, I think.
Without too many laws.
And no passports.
No passports.
And no prisons.
No prisons.
No darkness.
What? No taxes. No taxes. Say, this is getting to be a perfect government. And I will add no laws and no money. And that's all we have room for. Now, the next thing is to hold an election. I vote for myself as president, and Stanley seconds the motion.
But I'm the discoverer of our island. I vote for me. You vote for me, too, don't you?
No. Giovanni votes only for Giovanni.
The electioneering is over. Cherie, count the votes.
One vote for Giovanni. One vote for Antoine. One, two, three. Three votes for Oliver Crusoe, the president selected by a comfortable majority.
As president of Crusoe Land, I will now choose my cabinet. Cherie, you are my vice president.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President.
Antoine, and you are my foreign minister.
I am very proud.
Giovanni, you are the Minister of Construction.
You couldn't have made a better choice.
Well, that's that. What about me? Stanley, you are the people.
I don't want to be the people.
What do you mean you don't want to be the people? There are more of you than there are of us.
You mean there's a lot of me?
Certainly.
Oh, well, why didn't you tell me? I didn't know.
Mr. President, but now we will have to have a flag.
Giovanni is right. We can't have a government without a flag.
Cherie removes her apron.
Can't we use this as a flag?
That will be perfect.
Yes, but we'll need an emblem.
Wait a second. I have an idea.
Later, sporting a heart pierced by an arrow, the flag is hauled to the top of a flagpole. The islanders salute with pride. Crusoe Land excites interest worldwide. People throng to emigrate. By plane? By ship? By train? And by bus? On the island, as Ollie rinses a shirt, Stan dusts.
What is it possible to keep this house clean?
Look at that.
terrible.
He flicks a cloud of dust onto Ollie's clean shirt.
See, the dust is there.
Ollie prepares to toss the shirt at Stan, but stops. They run from their hut, bewildered. A piper marches past the hut. He's followed by an Indian chief. Immigrants lugging belongings join the parade.
Stan, Ollie, what happened?
Looks like we're being invaded.
What happened? Take a look at the beach.
The beach teems with new arrivals. Offshore, ships disgorge more passengers. Throngs of immigrants clamber onto the island. A dignitary greets President Ollie.
Under the principle of self-determination, the Constitution proposed by the government has been ratified by unanimous vote. We have no other alternative but to recognize this new sovereign state, the Caruso Land.
Ollie formally receives the Constitution. Workers toil at mining the uranium. Digging. Blasting and hauling. The island's flag is hauled down for use as a towel for a line of children. Loaded mine cars crawl past a campfire. A crowd of men and women stroll to the Cafe Crusoe, which celebrates its grand opening. Inside, Antoine delivers bowls of bouillabaisse. Cherie hands out flowers, then pats Ollie's cheek.
Oh, boy. It's a great hit, my bouillabaisse.
Waiter.
Hey,
Antoine.
Yes,
you want bouillabaisse?
Yes.
Poor Antoine.
A rough-looking man bangs a bottle on a table and sits.
What are you having?
He pulls Cherie to his lap.
Let me go. You can't do that.
This is a free country here.
As president of this island, I demand that you desist.
The man slams a tray into Ollie's stomach. Cherie slaps the culprit. As the man, Alecto, laughs, Ollie slaps him. He hammers Ollie's head.
Do that again.
Raising a bottle, Stan hits Antoine by mistake. Alecto hits Stan with the tray.
You keep out of this, nitwit.
I'll have you thrown off of this island for that.
Yeah, we'll have you imported.
If I were you, my fine friend, I wouldn't be too sure.
He turns and tweaks Cherie's cheek.
See you later. Gentlemen.
I'll have him thrown over this island if it's the last thing I do.
That's not possible.
Why not?
Because we have no such laws.
Yes, that would be pretty difficult. We'd be forced to change the Constitution.
If you want my advice, Mr. President, call a meeting of the cabinet.
That's a good idea. Come on. We'll attend to that right now. Enjoy yourself, folks. We'll be right back.
A proclamation is posted. The government regrets to announce, from now on, there will be law and order in Crusoe Land. P.S., there will also be taxes. Alecto pushes his way through a crowd milling about the proclamation. Angrily, he rips it down and strides off. Inside their hut, Ollie wears his robes of office.
It sure is quiet out there.
That's because I showed a firm hand with our proclamation.
Alecto leads a procession of angry residents. He gathers more at the cafe. They march toward the hut. While inside...
Now I'll make a tour around the island and test the public's reaction.
You don't have to. They're coming to visit you.
They're coming to apologize.
I knew that would bring them to their senses.
The crowd bursts in.
He did.
Alecto hits Ollie with the proclamation.
I now put you under arrest.
But he's the president.
He certainly is.
Why don't you hang him?
You have just given me an excellent idea. You will confess everything, and then you will be hanged like gentlemen at sunrise.
Thank you very much. What did he say?
Why don't you keep your big mouth shut?
Are you going to hang her too?
Of course not.
What can I say but thank you?
I can't believe my ears. Well, if you can't believe those ears, you can't believe anything.
Put some guards around the house. I'll immediately go and start a crew building a gallows. Oh, by the way, now that I'm going to be president, I'll need that outfit. Will you accompany me, my dear?
But of course.
Cherie takes Alecto's arm, and they leave.
I still can't believe...
Oh, shut up!
In the street, a gallows is constructed. Armed guards patrol outside the hut. Inside...
See if the guards are still out there.
Reluctantly, Stan walks to the window and opens it.
He missed me.
Another shot knocks his hat off. Cherie walks by a tent. Inside, an operator turns on radio equipment.
Attention, attention. Commander-in-Chief Geographic Station Tahiti. Calling Lieutenant Fraser, SS area.
Overhearing, Cherie enters.
3 a.m., wavelength 15 meters. Over.
It's lucky I was hired to come here as a radio operator. Without Alecto, I'd be sunk.
Which reminds me, he was just looking for you, Alecto.
Huh? Where is he?
Over there.
The operator leaves. Cherie turns on the transmitter.
Hello. Lieutenant Fraser.
Aboard a ship.
Lieutenant, it's for you. Sounds like a name.
Lieutenant Fraser.
Hello, Snow White. Don't tell me the dwarves are annoying you.
Hello, Jacques. Oh, listen to me. You've got to come right away. They've started a revolution. They've built the gallows. They're going to hang everyone. I need you. Do you hear me?
Change your course 20 points to starboard.
The ship alters course. Outside the radio tent, Alecto selects men to accompany him. Cherie looks about, then scampers away. A man carrying ropes runs to Alecto.
2, 3, 4, let's go!
The lynch mob cheers and charges off. Reaching the cafe, Cherie pauses and looks across to the guarded hut. She bends to pick up a rock and conceals it in her handbag. Casually peering about, she spots a pepper shaker and takes it. She snatches a flower from a table. She sniffs the flower, then ambles away. Outside the hut, a guard is attracted to a shapely leg fringed with lace. He's offered a flower to sniff. As he bends to sneeze, Cherie smashes him with her handbag. He falls unconscious. Cherie reloads the flower with pepper and steals past the front of the hut. Another guard is attracted to the shapely leg fetchingly displayed. The flower is offered. Inside the hut, the prisoners swallow nervously. Cherie bursts in.
Get away, quick!
Is this another one of your tricks?
What do you mean, tricks?
Tricks? Sure, she's full of them. We go outside and the guards shoot us.
You're wrong. I've just got rid of the guards outside. I put a stone in my purse. Oh, I went with Alecto only because one of us had to remain free to save the others.
What are we waiting for?
Come on. No, I'm staying here.
But we can't leave you here.
I've got to stay here and send them in the other direction.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no, hurry up, hurry up.
Cherie pushes them from the hut. While the men search for a hiding place, Cherie picks up a rope and a cloth and ties the cloth about her face just as the mob arrives. As Alecto enters the hut, the unconscious guards are discovered.
did it happen?
I haven't got time to explain. You've got to run and contact those brutes.
Cherie is freed.
But did you notice which way they went?
Left way.
Follow me.
The mob follows Electo in the wrong direction. They fan out far and wide in their search. The little train from the mine passes through the crowd. Stan, Antoine, and Giovanni hide in the cars. In the cab, Ollie accidentally trips a lever, spilling his friends to the ground and discovery. As the men scurry away, Electo leads the mob in hot pursuit. A searcher pauses before a tent. From inside, Cherie clouts him on the head with her loaded handbag. Soon, another falls victim to her handbag.
Hurry up! They went this way!
Cherie accounts for two more of the mob. Spotting a hiding place between two tents, Stan signals the others. They follow. A searcher pauses before Cherie's tent.
Hey, look at that!
Cherie clouts him on the head. As the mob rushes past the tents, Cherie watches, her handbag ready. To avoid discovery, the fugitives press back against a tent wall. Cherie notices a bulge in the tent wall.
I think we're safe here. Don't you?
She smashes Giovanni on the head from inside her tent. Stan notices Giovanni has slipped to the ground. Cherie smashes Antoine. As Antoine falls, Stan edges to Ollie to get his attention. Cherie strikes a blow that fells Ollie. Stan notices Ollie has fallen.
What happened?
He is struck a glancing blow. Turning back, Stan peers through a cut in the tent wall.
Cherie!
She strikes him, then realizes her mistake.
It's Cherie!
As Stan falls, she rushes to help.
Stan! Answer me! Forgive me! I didn't know it was you! Please look at me!
Electo arrives with his posse.
How did you manage to catch him?
But I...
This girl is absolutely wonderful! She has a stone in her bag! Quick! Get them up! We're going to give the signal for the show to begin!
On the gallows.
A token of thanks for your help, without which I could never have succeeded. I am giving you the honor of pulling the lever that will drop these traitors into eternity.
After addressing Cherie, Electo checks the condemned men one by one.
Standing.
Electo's on the trap door. Cherie pulls the lever, tumbling Electo to the ground beneath the gallows. He lands on a cactus. The crowd's attention is drawn to black thunderclouds. The sea begins to boil. The wind lashes the palm trees in a fury. Terror-stricken, the crowd scurries for shelter. On the gallows, Cherie releases the men. A volcanic eruption churns the sea into a boiling mass. The island's inhabitants flee in whatever craft they can find. Slowly, the island sinks back into the sea. Buffeted by wind and rain, Cherie and the men struggle to hold on to the wooden gallows. Next day, a ship steams slowly over a tranquil sea. On board...
I don't get it. I've just been checking. We're exactly on the position where the island stood.
Lieutenant Fraser smiles to himself as the ship nears the floating gallows. On it, Cherie and the men stand and wave.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I don't want to be rescued by him.
Why not?
He was too long getting here.
This world of ours is dying, no, apparently, but people go on living just the same.
Cherie L'Amour is finally marrying her lieutenant, and they look forward to many years of happily married life.
You would have never jilted me.
Take for your wedded wife, Miss Cherie L'Amour.
Okay, okay.
Yes, right, right. I now pronounce you married.
But you jilted me.
I jilted you,
yes.
You say.
Giovanni has gone back to his native Italy. Instead of building marble palaces, he'll go on forever building fences. Antoine has been brought back to the boat from which he ran away. Still anxious to give up this life of wandering, he tries once more his usual means of escape. But this time, he's gotten into the wrong sort of cage.
A lion peers from behind bars, then resumes chewing on a solitary shoe.
As for our two heroes, after all their mishaps, they've finally gotten their inheritance, their own South Sea Island. And there, far away from all the cares of the world, they settle down to a well-earned rest.
See, that sure was nice of Fraser and Cherie to land us here on our own real island, give us all this food and everything. Just like a fresh start in life.
It certainly is. And they're going to bring us new supplies every 6 months. At last, all of our troubles are over.
Yes, sir. Nothing to do from now on but eat and sleep.
And nobody to tell us what to do.
Stan is tapped on the shoulder.
What are you doing here?
What are we doing here? Well, this is our island.
There must be some mistake. This island has been taken over by the government for insufficient payment of inheritance taxes. Moreover, you've also been fined for the delay. My duty to seize your supplies and food. Take it away.
A gang of men seize the boy's supplies and haul them away.
Well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into.